Well, hey there. Welcome to the Prayer Podcast. I'm your host, Jan L. Burt, your fellow Jesus follower who very much wants to grow in my prayer life and encourage others in their prayer lives too. Here on the Prayer Podcast, we learn what the Bible has to say about prayer, and then we apply it by actually praying. It's my privilege to join you on this prayer journey. Now, let's get to praying. Just going to talk about some basics, I guess, at least they're basics in my mind about prayer. Think about, like, what is prayer? What is it actually? We're going to be going down that trail today here on the show today. And this is episode number 32 of the Prayer Podcast. I'm going to kind of review some things that I have learned over the years about prayer. And I do mean over the years. I mean years and years of praying and praying and praying, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you kind of become the chief, is that the right word? The lead, the main, you're the go-to person in your community, in your text chat, in your small group, maybe even at your church, you're one of the go-tos for prayer. You become known as an intercessor, even though you didn't really sign up to be on the, you know, the prayer team or whatever per se, right? You're just a person that prays a lot. And you pray for people. Like, if they bring you a prayer need, they know you're going to pray for them. Years, decades of praying have taught me a few things. I'm going to run through these really quickly. And then if there's an interest, I may follow up on some of these in the future and kind of what it looks like to actually kind of talk about what each of these means. Now, again, this is based on decades of my time as an intercessor. If you are one of those people, like I just mentioned, people always come to you and ask you, will you pray for me? How can you pray for me? If you're, you know, and you like, I don't know how to pray about that. How can you pray for me? That's not quite right. How do I pray about this situation? I'm in a tight spot. I don't know how to pray. I feel hopeless. I feel lost. Can you pray for me now? Like, what scripture verse would apply to this? And you pray for people and they follow up and you maybe have encouragement for them, or maybe they don't even have to, like, you follow up with them. They follow up with you. They know you're going to pray for them. If you get targeted as that kind of a person, targeted in a good way, not in a bad way, because it's a privilege to pray for one another. It's a privilege to take somebody in their, just their, maybe their darkest hour right now, and you take them to the throne of grace to find help and obtain mercy for them on their behalf. You stand in the gap for them. I'm combining some Old Testament, the major prophet verses about being a person, I found no one to stand in the gap, who would stand in the gap. You know, that's what you are. You're standing in the gap, interceding for people. And Hebrews, when we enter the throne room of grace to find help and obtain mercy at our point of need, for our time of need, that's what you do for people. And so they follow up with you and are like, thank you so much. I know you were praying for me. I could feel it. There was a difference. Things were shifting. If that's you, then I want you, if you have other things that you have learned about prayer, I want you to share them. Share them with me. I would say just leave a comment on the podcast on whatever player you're listening to, but it's really hard for me, especially for those who listen globally, it's hard for me to be able to access all of those platforms and comments. And so I would say, if you have something you want to add to this, send it to me. And you can send it to me at my email, which is my name, JanLBurt at outlook.com. That's my name, Jan, middle initial L, last name Burt, Burt at outlook.com. Send it to me because I want to hear what you have to say about prayer. If you're one of those people, like, that's a go-to. And if you're one of those people who has, like, you know who that person is in your church, in your small group, in your family, in your whatever, you know, in that text group chat thing you've got going on at in the workplace, you know, if there's somebody that you know, they don't say much about it because they, you know, they don't want to lose their job by getting to bringing the Bible into work on a daily basis kind of a thing. And you know what I mean by that, like taking the Bible and talking about it. There are places where you just can't be that way at work. Like, if you are a school teacher, I don't think you can just grab your kid, lay hands on him and pray for that kid in your classroom, right? Like, so you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying hide your faith. I totally disagree with that. Don't do that. But you know what I mean? You might know who that person is though. Like, the teachers have a Bible study maybe. And, you know, yeah, we do that outside of classroom hours. And we do pray for situations or for one another and things, but we don't like grab the kid and lay hands on him and pray in class because you can't do that, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about. If you know somebody that this episode would encourage, or if they have something they could add to it, share this with them, because I really do want to do like a, I want to do a deep dive on this. Tell me what you know about prayer that I don't know. It's your turn to kind of get behind the wheel of this thing and school me on it, if you would. Okay, so some things I've learned about prayer. Number one, prayer is unstoppable. I think we know that. But do we know that we know that? Prayer is unstoppable. Nobody can stop you from praying. They can silence you in a lot of ways. They cannot stop you from praying. Even if someone were to take your life, then you enter the presence of God. And yes, then things do change. And there's not like you're not on the earth here praying for needs. You're with him worshiping, right? I mean, your time of having needs will end, because that's the era that we, when we enter into that, there's no more. He takes away all the pain and all the suffering. And there are no more tears or crying, or, you know, there's just, it's a different arena. We don't have like, you're not praying for somebody like you are here. Does that make sense? You're not praying for yourself like you are here. It's going to be so different when we just close our eyes here for the last time, or when Jesus returns and we step into eternity with him. But for now, prayer is unstoppable. You can be completely silent and praying some big, bold, daring prayers, and nobody can stop you. Satan himself cannot stop you. Isn't that wonderful to know? Prayer is unstoppable. Number two, prayer should never be generic. I have learned that if somebody asks me to pray for them because their child is sick, or I'm just grabbing things out of thin air, like I'm going to pray specifically. If they say, you know, they have to have surgery to, you know, the kid broke their arm and they have to have surgery to put a pin in there. That happened to one of our kids, right? She broke both her arms at different times and had to have surgery both times. I'm not going to be praying that they're not going to suffer like, you know, hearing loss during that surgery. Like, that's not what I'm going to pray for. I'm going to be praying for the orthopedic surgeons, that the pin stays in place, that the surgery goes quickly and perfectly, that healing is fast and perfect, and that the recovery goes well, that they have a good nursing staff around them, that when they're home, they're not in too much pain, that they're not miserable in the following weeks time with the itchy casts and things, and that the bone sets and that they don't have achiness in the future. I'm not going to be praying like that they don't get an ear infection. You know what I mean? Like, so prayer should be specific. What somebody asks you to pray for that. And what's going on in your life that's difficult? Sometimes when we're the people who pray for everybody else, we don't pray for that thing in our life specifically. We just kind of go, yeah, yeah, bless me too, Lord. And then, you know, we do the long list of praying for other people and we come to ourselves and kind of go, oh, I don't know. Yeah. No, whatever that thing is in your life, pray about it specifically, because prayer should not be generic. Number three, prayer coupled with worship. It's kind of like a kaboom dynamite thing that could end up happening. It's powerful. It's powerful. If you are like feeling like, I'm just a little, I feel sluggish a little bit in my prayer time this morning, sing a worship song, turn on some worship music. And after you listen to a song or two, and you just worship, like focus on the Lord. You're not doing anything else in that time. You're worshiping the living God. Then stop listening to music on whatever app, CD if you're old school, whatever, a cassette tape if you're super old school, and then go back to prayer. It becomes like this really, you know, if you're praying God's word, praying scripture, and you're worshiping, it is like dynamite. It's tremendous. I will tell you that Satan hates that very, very much. It's not, worshiping the Lord is not something that he wants to do. And so sometimes we just have to get our worship going and get the devil fleeing, because he just doesn't like it. That's been my experience. If yours has been different or you have something to add to that, I'm serious. I want to hear from you. Let me know. Number four, prayer needs to be rooted in faith. Think about that. So often we can pray by rote. I'm just going down my checklist. I'm just doing my thing. Yeah, but is my faith engaged? Is my faith engaged, right? Like, think about the old school 4x4s, like where you really had to, like, you know, the shifter, and you had to engage. And in some older vehicles, it was a little bit difficult. Maybe you had a scout. Maybe your grandpa had a scout. You're like, I got to engage this four-wheel drive, and it's really trucky, isn't it? It's tricky. Not trucky. It's a tricky truck. It's tricky. I can't get it engaged. Engage your faith. Make a decision to be like, oh, I'm not fully engaged here. My mind is wandering, or I'm just praying through my checklist. I had prayed for this person in this situation 100 times, and I'm just praying for it again. Pause if you need to, engage your faith and say, oh, not today, Satan. Today I've got faith. Faith in what? Faith in my God, who is a perfect promise maker and a perfect promise keeper. And he's going to do what he says he's going to do. So now I'm praying the word of God over the situation. Engage your faith. Okay, number 5, prayer. It should never be stagnant. Prayer should never be stagnant. Stagnant water is not water that you want to swim in or drink. It's like, you know, it gets that slime over the top of it. And think about maybe a backyard pond that's like just an oversized puddle, and it's yuck and it's stagnant. Mm-mm. Your dog is out on a walk with you and they want to drink from that stagnant water, and you're like, nope, not drinking that. That's got sickness written all over it. Fresh water is flowing, moving water. A prayer life that is not stagnant is moving. Right? So you want to be, you want to have a moving and not stagnant. You want to have an alive and not dead prayer life. If you need to walk around while you pray, get up and do like a prayer walk. I'm serious. Walk around your living room. Rock back and forth. The Hebrews walk. I mean, rock. They don't walk. They rock when they pray at the wailing wall, right? So, move if you need to, if that will physically get your mind, if your physical movement gets your mind moving and shifts things around for you so that it's not stagnant, do it. Mix it up a little bit if you need to. Sit in a different spot. Finish your Bible study time here and then get up, move over to another spot, pray. Get on your knees and pray. Do something to make sure your prayer life is not stagnant, because prayer should not be stagnant. You are talking to the living God, who can and does change things every minute of every day because people ask in prayer. And so get your heart postured to receive. Don't have a stagnant prayer life, because prayer is not stagnant. Okay, praying for, this is in air quotes, for small things, that's not insulting to God. He loves that. He loves that. If you're a pregnant mama and you don't want to make that long walk from the back of the parking lot with your other little, with your toddlers and your preschooler and your first grader, and you're just like, oh, I'm tired and it's hot today. And you know what? It's not too small a thing to say, Lord, can I have an up close parking spot? Can I have an up close parking spot? Because I'm tired today. Pray for that. There are not small things to God. If he cares about every detail of your life, and the word says that he does, then guess what? If he pays attention to every detail of your life, and the Bible says he does, and guess what? Pray about those things and don't be like, oh, that's too small. No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay, number 7, your praying is a litmus test of how much you trust the Lord. Did you know that? I've learned that to be true through decades of praying. If I'm not really trusting the Lord, It shows itself. It's very revealing in my prayer time. If I've got a certain area where I'm not trusting the Lord, I can pinpoint that pretty clearly in my prayer time. Sometimes it could be pinpointed super quickly because that's the thing that I don't even want to pray about. I like skip over it on my prayer sheet day after day after day. If you have a written out prayer sheet and you put like little X's or circles around things, like if you've got one thing where there's not as much marking next to it, like you could be like, oh, I don't have as many X's next to that for daily times of prayer over all these things. That one, ooh, that's a really short column. That did, ooh, oh my goodness. You know what? It'll show up. Confront those things and get back to praying with belief and trusting God. Entrust those things to him and trust him fully with them as you pray. Okay, intercession. This is number 8. Intercession is God honoring. It's important and it's holy kingdom work. Don't let anybody, certainly not yourself and certainly not the devil or anybody else, tell you that prayer, that intercessory prayer, doesn't make a difference, that it doesn't matter, that it's not important. It's kingdom work of the highest order. If you are called to be an intercessor, I want to tell you what, you've got a high calling. It's a holy calling. It's important enough that it has like it's humbling. It's behind the scenes. And one day in heaven, it's important enough that one day in heaven, there'll be like the great reveal and we'll see who the real intercessors were. It's going to be a beautiful thing. And they do it often behind closed doors. You know, if I'm talking to you, you know what I'm talking about. Nobody knows. Nobody sees how much you pray. They just don't know. They don't know that you're praying at this point and that point. Sometimes they might be like, everybody's watching, you know, the family is all together and they're watching a movie and you are, you know, you might be kind of staring off into space, but you're not really staring off into space. You're praying, you're interceding, you're praying over everybody in that room, your family, your loved ones, you're praying. They might think that you are, you know, just you go to bed and you read for a while before you fall asleep, but you might not be reading. Your reading light might be on, but you might be praying and interceding behind closed doors, right? You're in your prayer closet, literally. Some people, many people have an actual prayer closet where they just intercede and they spend their time. They're much with Jesus in that place. It's kingdom work. There's going to be that great revealing moment and we're going to see in eternity, wow, how great is this? And God is so glorified in it. So don't let anybody tell you it's not holy work, that it's not important work. And don't tell yourself that. And don't listen to the devil. The devil is a liar. Don't listen to him when he says, oh, this isn't, yeah, stop praying. It doesn't make a difference. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The whole reason he's telling you to stop is because it makes such a difference. It's powerful, it's effective, and it's critically important. So you keep doing what you're doing. Number 9, last one I'm going to share for today. If we study what Jesus taught about prayer, and then we do whatever he said. So we study what Jesus said, what Jesus taught about prayer, and then we take what he said and we apply it to the way that we pray. We pray that way. Oh man, you want to start rocking the world for Jesus. You want to start making an impact. You want to tie Satan's tail in a knot, if you will. You know, I know Satan doesn't have a tail. I know he's not running around with a pitchfork, but you want to just really make an impact that is positive for the kingdom of God and very detrimental to Satan's nasty, evil work in this world. Find out what Jesus said about prayer, what Jesus taught about prayer. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a little bit of Acts. And you could also skip ahead and read Revelation and see if there's anything in there, letters to the churches or any part of Revelation that is like, what does God have to say about, what is Jesus saying about prayer? How can I apply this to my prayer life? And then pray it. You are going to begin to see things happen that you did not know were going to happen. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Okay. You know what? I have read all of these here for episode 32. I probably am in the near future going to go a little bit more in depth on some of these. I really do want to hear what you might add in addition to that. What have you learned about prayer as an intercessor? I really do want to encourage you to share this episode with friends, people at church, whoever it might be, that you know our intercessors. They're making a difference. You know that they're making a difference because it made a difference for you. Or maybe you just need some encouragement because you're the intercessor. Can I give it to you now? Can I pray for you right now with encouragement? Lord, would you bless the one who is an intercessor in their church and in their family, in their workplace, and in their neighborhood, in their small group? Maybe they just are, they pray while they drive. They drive a lot. Maybe they're even a truck driver, Lord, whoever that person might be right now. Would you just bless them? Encourage them, show them in some measure what a difference their praying makes. This is kingdom work. It's good work. It's holy work. It honors you. May your intercessors be protected and favored and blessed and encouraged. Send them encouragement from all sorts of different arenas and avenues so that they know that you see them. Show them somehow. Speak to them in a way that means something to each of them individually, that you see them. And that you're grateful for, well, I'm grateful, Lord. I'm not going to say what you're grateful for. I'm grateful. And so out of my gratitude for all those who are intercessors, I ask you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord God Most High, the Lord of Heaven's Armies, to bless them, to show them that you see them and show them that others around them are blessed and thankful. Even if nobody has ever come to them and said, thank you for praying for me, Lord, somehow send them a thank you. From me, if it's just from me, Lord, send them the encouragement that they need in some way, shape, or form. Thank you, Father, for intercessors. Would you raise up more? Would you raise up more? Would you encourage us to pray in ways that impact this world and people for right now, but also for all of eternity? Teach us how to pray. Jesus, may we be in the Word and believe what you say about prayer and apply it to our prayer lives. Lead us. Holy Spirit, interpret rightly every prayer that we pray. Change it where it needs to be changed. Interpret it before the throne of God. And Father, hear us and answer. We want nothing but your glory. We want nothing but your will to be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. So thank you, Lord, for the intercessors that are out there in the communities all around the world, making a difference. Shore them up, help them to be brave enough to keep praying, to be bold enough to pray the biggest, boldest, most daring prayers they've ever prayed, to keep coming to your throne room of grace with all sorts of needs and requests, believing that you're going to move and act because we've asked. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. Lord, help us to ask and ask and ask. And Lord, for all the intercessors who pray for everyone else, but when it comes time to pray for themselves, they struggle with that. Help them to ask you for what they need, to bring their needs to you, their good, loving Abba Father, and then answer them. Answer them for themselves, not just for everyone else. And for those who just feel like they just can't quite get there, that praying for themselves just feels selfish, and they just have that hiccup. I know, Lord, I've been there so many times, that hiccup of praying for themselves. Hear my prayer for them. Give them what they need. Meet them at their point of need. Carry them through it, beyond it, over it. Favor them. Bless them. Give them wisdom. Give them healing in their bodies and in any other area they need healing, in their finances, in their relationships, Lord. Would you make the work of their hands be so blessed that their intercessory work is something that they can do more and more and more of, because they're so well provided for from you. You're the perfect provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. Be their provider even now. In whatever area they need it. There are so many different areas. If they need work done on their home, send it, provide it. If they need a new car, send it, provide it. If they need a job and need provision, send it, provide it. Lord, whatever the need might be, help with medical bills, send it, provide it. Healing in their body, healing for their children, healing in their relationships, prodigals to come home. There could be some of the greatest intercessors are those who are dealing with the terrible, heavy burdens and struggles in their own life right now. So Lord, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do, and multiply and bring about Zechariah 9:2 blessings into their life. Lord, they honor you in their prayers. Take care of their loved ones. Bring the prodigals home. Ease the burden off their shoulders, because your burden is easy and your yoke, it's light. Help them to walk so closely with you that they always hear your voice. They know what to pray. They know what to speak over others. And they're encouraged because they're so, so close to you that they can't be lied to with the voice of the deceiver. Keep him far from them. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you to all of you who are intercessors. You make a difference. It's a kingdom difference. It's an eternal difference, and it's a right now difference. And I'm thankful for you. If nobody's told you that today, I'm telling you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Don't stop praying. And again, please, seriously, send me anything in addition that you have, like for these 9 things I mentioned, whatever else you've learned about prayer, send it my way. My email again is janlburt@outlook.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll see you back here next time. Bye-bye. So much for joining me today on the Prayer Podcast. It's a blessing to read what the Bible says about prayer and then to be able to pray with you. Remember to always pray and never give up. See you back here next time.